Morning. Our reading is from John 14, verses 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the place, and you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. For now you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. In fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Our reading this morning is one of the most famous parts of the Bible, and probably most non-Christians have heard at least a part of this passage before. And that's probably because this passage, or at least part of this passage, has been used as a clobber passage to attack people of other faiths a lot. And so that's why a lot of people have heard of it. It's a passage that carries a lot of historical and cultural baggage on a lot of different levels. It's a text that's been over-spiritualized. It's a text that's been weaponized. It's a text that's been turned into a discourse on heaven and hell and who's going where. It's been used by preachers who wanted to coerce us into believing certain statements of belief and who wanted to define the terms of who belongs to the club and who doesn't. This text has often been used to serve the interests of those who wanted to point us to some transcendent, immaterial, otherworldly afterlife rather than to the flesh and blood battles that we face in this life. This is a text that more often than not has been used to bamboozle us. So it's a dangerous passage. It's dangerous because it's been weaponized. But above all, it's dangerous because we think we already know what it's about. We've heard it so many times that we've stopped listening. This morning, I'd like to invite us to encounter this text again with our full attention and leaving behind what we think we know. Because in spite of all of the historical baggage that this text carries, it's one that we need to hear this morning. Because in this passage, Jesus tells us, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In the age of COVID, in the age of falling empires and rising oligarchies, I want to know, why on earth shouldn't I be worried? What does Jesus know that I don't? Jesus says that we don't need to be afraid because he's preparing a place for us. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. So, this is wedding language. This is wedding language. In Jesus' time, it was common for extended families to live together in a single compound. And So when a man wanted to marry a woman, if she agreed, he would go back to his father's house, to the family compound, and build an extension onto it. And that would be where he and his fiance could go to live. And so Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus says, we don't need to be troubled because he loves us like a young man loves his bride. He's preparing a place for us in God's extended family. He has promised himself to us, to you, to me. He's promised to make us a part of God's household. Jesus is in the Father, and the Father is in him. God dwells in Jesus and works through him. Jesus is the way. He lives God's life by walking it. He's the truth, and you can see it in his whole being. He's the life, abundant, joyous, and unafraid, even in the face of terrible threats. Jesus is going to make a place for us, a place to stand in as a part of his Father's household. Jesus dwells in the Father, and the Father lives in him. We can see God's action through the acts of Jesus. And here's the kicker. We will do greater things. I want to repeat that because really so much of the Bible sounds like wild heresy if you just read it. We will do greater things than Jesus. That's what Jesus himself has promised us. We will do greater works than these because Jesus is going to the Father. Jesus will do whatever we ask in his name, in his way, in his truth, in his life, so that God can be glorified in his children. That's us. That's why Jesus says, even in times like these, do not let your hearts be troubled. He's made us brothers and sisters, siblings of Jesus and children of God. He sent us the Comforter who will lead us into all truth, to do even greater things, to manifest the kingdom, to live lives that demonstrate the presence of God on earth. And this world says, this world that we live in, this culture that we live in, says, show us God, prove that God exists. They say, we want to see signs and wonders. We want to see miracles. But here's what Jesus says. We are the miracle. We are the body of Christ. By the grace of God, by his undeserved love and mercy, that is what we are. Are we in the Father and the Father in us? Do we dwell in his love and his power and his presence? If so, then whoever has seen us has seen the Father. We are not here to convince with words. We're here to make the character and presence of God visible in our daily lives. By God's grace, we are here to say to this world, do you still not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Have you experienced that? Have you ever encountered God in the life and actions of another person? I remember one time years ago when I was traveling and had a long layover in a Texas airport, and my flight had been delayed, and so I was grumpy. Because if any of you have ever been delayed in an airport or a bus station or anywhere else like that, you know, you just want to be home, and you're worn out, and you're in a bad mood. And so I'm waiting around for hours in this airport, and I go to get some coffee from a Starbucks in the terminal. And the man who hands me my coffee utterly surprises me. I felt seen by this man. It's a hard thing to describe because I was operating this robot space. Take order, pay money, wait for coffee. And he just broke through it with a living presence. My heart was closed up and my eyes were dead, but for some reason, the barista saw me. He encountered me as a human personality, a fellow life, more than just another order to be filled. I had entered into that moment prepared for a transaction. Somehow he made it a relationship. And even now I have a tough time describing what that felt like, but I remember that I was so taken aback by it that after I got my coffee, I retreated to the edge of the shop and literally just stood there and watched the barista for probably 10 minutes. And I watched him serving other customers and interacting with them the same way that he had interacted with me. I could feel life radiating off of him. He was full of life, and it was overflowing onto those he was serving. He was fully present. He was filled with love, and he was giving complete attention to the people in front of him. And if you've ever spent much time in an airport, you know how strange that would be. I have no idea who this guy was. I don't know if he considered himself a Christian, but when I looked at him, I could see the Father. I could see the way. And this is what Jesus teaches us here in our reading this morning. Don't pretend that God is some abstract, distant being, totally uninvolved in this world. Look at Jesus, and you'll know who God is. The children of light reflect the light of God. Like Jesus, we dwell in the Father, and the Father dwells in us. We do the works of God, and that's proof enough. In the words of George Fox, our calling is to be patterns, be examples in all countries, places, islands, nations, wherever you come, that your carriage and life may preach amongst all sorts of people and to them. Then you will come to walk cheerfully over the world, answering that of God in everyone, whereby in them you may be a blessing, and make the witness of God in them to bless you. So the witness of God in me blessed the barista in the airport Starbucks, is what I'm trying to say. Can you remember a time when the witness of God in you answered the presence of God in another person? The great revelation of the Quaker tradition and that of original Christianity is that the keys of the kingdom are hidden in plain sight. God has come to earth and dwells among people. The New Jerusalem is descending, and we are the walls and the gates and the streets. We are drinking from the river. We are being healed with the leaves from the tree of life. We are bathing in the light of God, never to walk in darkness again. That sounds pretty good to me. I want to get there. What do I need to do to experience that kind of life and power? Well, what Jesus says is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not ideas about him. Not rules to be adhered to. Not a tradition to be cherished. Not an identity to be built around him. But Jesus himself, he is the way. Dwelling in him as he dwells in the Father, doing the works of the Father, and even greater works as he leads us. The religions of this world, Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, scientism, capitalism, Marxism, all the religions of this world want to sell us on a way, an ism, an abstract set of principles and rules and answers that will get us where we want to go. The religions of this world are about providing us with a human constructed way for us to walk. And we eat it up because ideological systems make us feel safe. But Jesus doesn't offer us a system. He doesn't offer us a new set of commandments carved into stone. He offers us himself in marriage, covenantal union with Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's me. Know me, love me, follow me, stay with me, imitate me, dwell in me as I dwell in the Father. Jesus is the way. Relationship with him, marriage to Jesus, and adoption into the family of God. That's our religion. Not rules, not rituals, not reason, not money, not being nice to people. Him. It's him. All we need is you, Lord. All we need is you. Stay with me, remain with me, watch and pray. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you.